me.
G'day, guys.
Excuse me, button.
Got Alan working on his camera here.
Oh, I knew the button to push before. Where was it? It's on the Skype screen. I'm thinking I'm looking for.
Live radio, folks. You just can't beat it.
Yeah. Camera, come on. You should be working. You're not. Oh, well, we've got you on anyway. Let's carry on as if we got something to talk about. And well, actually, yeah, there's. To start with, I wanted to let my viewers know, how are you going? How's life in the land of the long white cloud?
You mean Aotearoa, New Zealand?
Yeah, that one.
Well, we've got an indigenous population who are basically being represented at this point by a tiny, tiny portion of an elite of it, maybe less than 1% of them, who've come together with all these kind of corporate little tribe-type entities with a whole bunch of nepotism and kids who are lawyers and judges and cops and things of that nature. And they're now basically trying to say that they have 50% control over New Zealand. And they're changing all the road signs to be not in English anymore. They're now going to be in Māori. They're inserting Māori into the news and television, and they're not giving any translations as to when they're saying these things. They're renaming our primary industries and what would you call them, government departments, Māori names, and not telling anybody what those Māori names mean. Like, for example, the Ministry of Transport got renamed Waka Kotahi. All right. Now,
what could that mean?
I didn't know what it meant when I first heard it. Like, they were talking about it on the news. They mention these things on the news, but they don't mention in English what they actually are. And it was, I think, about 2 years before it clicked what Waka Kotahi was, even though I'm getting my warrant of fitness and registration for my car through them for those 2 years. Right. You know, It's just they're keeping people in the dark, mate. And that's just one thing that's going on. I remember the protests and things of that nature that we had in Wellington, with a lot of people getting moved off by militarized police with sound cannons and things of that nature, and goodness knows what other kind of weapons they had there. There's some EMF weapons, we're alleging. A lot of people came away with headaches and strange illnesses and burns and stuff like that, precisely what we saw in Australia.
Sounds like the last couple of subjects you were talking about Australia, like the indigenous thing, there's similar things happening here. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah. Incidentally, I was watching some commentary on a movie called Event Horizon not too long ago. And in it, Sam Neill is supposed to be playing an astronaut from Australia. And in the in the costume design, the Australian flag on his shoulder doesn't have a Union Jack on it anymore. It has the tribal Australian flag instead of the Union Jack, because he theorized that in the future the tribes would have taken it back. So, you know, it's interesting programming there. But I digress. At the moment, myself and Billy TK, and I think I've got you'll have to just bear with me one moment, because I have a project here that I'm working on about the activist persecution in New Zealand. And it's only been up until very recently that it occurred to me that there's actually so many people in New Zealand who are doing what I'm doing, who are getting arrested or some kind of persecution. So, for example, one of the first off was a man named Lee Williams, otherwise known as Across the Rubicon Channel down in Christchurch. And he was basically calling out this this Māori battalion of thieves for a long time. And he got his bank accounts closed. He got fired from his job. He left the country, and he left the country, and the Matthew Tukake was asking the Minister of Immigration to deny his residency. But he is back now. That's just one. I mean, we've got Liz Gunn and Jonathan Clark. Liz Gunn's been doing a alternative media of under the name Free NZ, I believe, for mm-hmm. some time, and had great success, especially with the Baby W case. And her and her cameraman Jono, who was there at my arrest, were assaulted quite brutally at the Auckland airport. They were just sitting there filming, you know, some family coming off the thing that they were doing a story on. And Liz had her hand racked behind her back, thrown to the ground, and broke her thumb almost off, you know, kind of thing. Like, she actually has to fly to Australia to get surgery for it. They slammed Jono to the ground and flung his camera over. It's, you know, like a $15,000 camera, just smashed, you know, irreparable. And now they're being charged as well. And then we have Shane LaRosa of Shooters Bar. He was down there at Wellington and got arrested on the front lines. And what was happening at the time, when he was running his bar, Shooters Bar, he was hosting freedom parties for unjabbed people because they couldn't get into any of the other bars during those few years of COVID kind of thing. And he'd been having those parties for over a year. And the police raided him three times in total. He'd had, I think, like 97 parties or something of that nature during that time. And they raided three times, and they were only during the freedom parties, right?
Yeah.
And one of them, they confiscated all the alcohol that they could find on the premises as well. They had an entire paddy wagon full of booze. And we don't know what
happened to that.
Yeah. What happened to that? You know, it's just these thieves and scum. And now he's being taken to court as well over alcohol licensing issues. And then we give Hannah Spearer and Calvin Out from Counterspin Media, who recently did a stint on the Alex Jones show, and they were arrested at their home in Christchurch, pinned to the ground, and Hannah had blood forcibly taken off her. Five police officers held her down and in order to extract blood from her finger, kind of thing, because she refused to give it at the time. And this was over a post on Telegram.
Yeah.
All right.
wasn't even their link. It was someone else's link or something, wasn't it?
Someone else's link to a documentary that was made overseas, outside New Zealand law, and the content that they shared when they shared it was not classified under the Objectionable Materials Act. All right.
Should be able to sort that out in a court of law, shouldn't you?
And it was classified the day after, however, and they were not warned about it whatsoever. It's just all of a sudden they had 16 men with guns rolling through their door and taking all their cameras, taking all their hard drives, taking all their computers, taking their phones. And this is at that stage the largest alternative media outlet in New Zealand by a huge margin. They are charged with 14 years in prison for Hannah Spearer and 28 years in prison for Calvin Alp, and up to $100,000 or $200,000 fines, respectively. Now, all of their material, I think they said they had something like 128 terabytes of material that they have to go through to determine which is and isn't under journalistic privilege. Okay, so and the police could let them do this on their own, but they won't. So they actually have to come into the police station to sit in a little room there, going over hard drives and hard drives and hard drives for goodness knows how many hours. And they've just had a little child as well, which is great for them. But of course, not the best times to be doing it. Their one of their assistants has also been charged in this regard. So. And now we've got Carl Bromley as well, who's a pastor down in Christchurch, and he's been speaking up against Agenda 21 and all of these other people. He's actually knocked off his motorcycle, if you can believe it, and he doesn't think it was some kind of foul play or something like that, but leave it up to your imagination, because he was charged over firearms and had many other altercations with police. In fact, he was even assaulted outside the Counterspin media's court appearance for their charges, and right in front of police by these trans and sovereign, multi-sovereignty activists and things of that nature. And the police did absolutely nothing. And then we got Brad Flutie as well, who'd been standing up for the Marsden Point refinery, the last working refinery in New Zealand. They're trying to shut it down, so that they're completely dependent.
They haven't actually shut it down yet. I heard that it was shut down.
Yeah, exactly. And at the time that I'm talking about here, Brad was really behind the spearhead in the campsite outside that refinery to prevent that happening. But of course, he wouldn't wear a mask when he went in to get some booze. He gets a little bit of piss once a week, as you do. And he'd already talked with the owner about him not wearing a mask, and the owner was fine with it. But the dumbass clerk that was there called the police on him for not wearing a mask. And then the police tried to assault him, tried to tase him, and he defended himself and tried to get away. And now he's been convicted of like five different charges and is possibly facing prison time. And lastly, but not leastly, of course, there's myself and Billy TK, who Billy TK was voted third most preferred Prime Minister in New Zealand during the 2020 election, got 1% of the popular vote, had a donors list of 70,000 donors, and somebody named Claire Deeks had access to that database, which since went missing, and Claire Deeks has now started up an organization called Voices for Freedom that suddenly had all these donors and all these people all around the country joining it and supporting it and funding it. Nobody knows how that happened. But I digress. Billy has been charged and sentenced to 4 months prison. And I've been sentenced to 3 months prison. Why? Because we held a peaceful protest in broad daylight outside Television New Zealand studios on day one of the level 4 lockdown, which was called overnight for a single case of the Delta variant. And we said at the time that the virus wasn't that bad and so on and so forth. But unfortunately, the police arrested us, of course, and they held us for 28 hours in solitary confinement. And then we were put on probably the most restrictive bail conditions. I think the worst than home detention, actually banned from using the internet for 6 whole weeks while we went through the court system. I think we had to go to the High Court after the District Court failed us like 4 times trying to get those bail conditions relaxed. And by that time, all the hype and everything that was to do with our arrest was over. So basically, when we came back, nobody heard that we came back. And we've been struggling to find an audience or get help with our case ever since. And on the 31st of July, the reason why I'm able to speak to you now is because I'm out on bail again, pending the appeal for this case. On the 31st of this month, I may be either A, be going free, B, be getting home detention or some other kind of less extreme punishment, or three, I might be going to prison for up to 3 months. So this is a pretty substantial thing, because when you're talking about, and I'm so sorry to keep going on here, Alan.
No, you're right. Carry on.
When you're talking about getting arrested for protesting, like literally in the act of protesting, you know, we've got this thing called the Bill of Rights Act. And in Section 14, I believe it is, you have the right to freedom of speech, freedom of expression. And you also have in Section 16, the right to freedom of peaceful assembly. Now, it also has a clause in the New Zealand Bill of Rights Act that says you've got all these rights, unless we say you don't. And so the COVID-19 legislation ostensibly makes the Bill of Rights disintegrate like toilet paper and lava, you know. And so if we are found to be guilty, and it's not just a district court thing, the High Court says this, As I've been saying the whole time, it's just another nail in the coffin. It's just like, hey, look, we're living in a dictatorship in New Zealand, okay? You don't have any rights. Look at what happened to Billy TK trying to do the election. He got demonized in the media, demonized by the government, probably had the votes messed with. We don't necessarily have the evidence for that, although the vote machines that turned Joe Biden in happened to be the same company that was providing our voting process.
Really? How surprising.
No, you can't make this stuff up. But I believe that it's actually quite important. Now, it's very, very difficult for me to be enthusiastic about this. I got to tell you, because the stress and the illness, basically, that I'm suffering from right now makes me, like, kind of, I don't know, a bit depressed. And if I'm not depressed, I'm apathetic. So it's like I'm trying to give some kind of enthusiasm or some kind of impetus. But the fact of the matter is, look, guys, we're the test case. If there's no public support for us, you are all saying, yeah, I'm fine with the government being able to say you don't have any rights and there's nothing that I can do about it. Are you happy about that? No? Then frickin' turn up and support us, please. Right? 31st of July at 10 a.m. At the Auckland High Court. And that's basically what I really want people to do, is help us bring some kind of public awareness to this, because of how actually important it is, okay, for the future of New Zealand, for the future of, like, anybody's children. Imagine growing up in a country where you are born and from the day you can understand what it is, what it means, you're being told and you believe that you have no rights. No rights to your body, no rights to what you say, no rights to what you do, where you go, or who you associate with.
And it's the same this side of the ditch too, pretty much. Like, all the what I've seen about the alternative media, because at the moment I'm basically just standing on the outside looking in, sort of thing, because I've not go anywhere or doing anything. But very shortly, the bus will be back on the road, and I'm going to be going places. But a lot of the alternative media, the new media or whatever you want to call them, they're so busy arguing each other. Yeah, they've been divided and conquered, basically, haven't they? Yeah. I've seen the evidence of it here in Australia. There's certain guys, I won't mention anyone's name at the moment, that they get on, and the first 10 minutes of the show is about whinging about other people that are doing shows. So, you know, because someone said something out of line to someone else, and sort of, which is, I'm not saying all of their points aren't valid or anything like that, but let's get with the big picture, guys, because we are at the new media, as I like to call us. We are so fractured, and we need to get it together. But, yeah, this doesn't appear to be a common purpose. No one's really, for example, Australia won, the political party over here that's hopefully going to do well. But they're quite often this, not definitely, there's the show that quite often you're seeing that they're having a bitch about other places. But during the last election, there's some really curious election results that I'd like to talk about, actually. They had this forensic dude that went over all the paperwork from the Australian Electoral Commission to see where the votes went and did like that. And Ricardo's party, Australia One, they were in box U. That's the way they do it over here. There's a little box you've got to tick. And just about everywhere it's got, there was zero votes. Zero votes. Let's face it. Surely that's, in my own electorate, I checked it out myself. Zero votes. I voted for him, and I know a few people around town that did as well. So,
That's statistically impossible then.
zero. Yeah, okay. It's
All right, back to the state of New Zealand.
Yep.
Article just came up.
Oh, by the way, before you get back into that, I'm having a New Zealand beer. It's a good drop, anyway.
What's it called?
Montes Black.
Yeah, Montes Black's not bad. I like the Radler. It's kind of like, have you ever had a Shandy, mate?
Yeah, not real keen on.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a Shandy, but it's 5% alcohol. It's like a Mandy,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Now, over here in Australia, like the beer I drink is called Two Is Old, but it used to be called Two Is Black Ale, but I'm not allowed to use that word black in Australia anymore. Go figure.
It gets bleaker and bleaker, doesn't it? And then we go to thinking about whatever kind of political solutions there can be to this problem, and as shown with the case of Billy TK, there is no political solution to this in New Zealand. Doesn't matter how good you are, doesn't matter how great you are, doesn't matter how much support you got, you'll not be allowed. You'll simply not be allowed to get into Parliament. And they've got that kind of power to do that. And now Billy is going to court tomorrow because he's been charged with electoral fraud.
Oh, really?
No kidding, man, because a guy gave him some money. Incidentally, the funder of Voices for Freedom, who allegedly stole the database that Billy created with 70,000 donors on it. Okay. And Billy knows this and could expose them, you know, sort of thing. Mm. And so what they did was he gave Billy a whole wad of cash and said it was for his family. And then after the election was over and they started Voices for Freedom, he then reports Billy to the Electoral Commission for fraud and saying that he was giving them that money for the party and that he didn't put it in, even though Billy never had any frickin' contact with the party bloody bank accounts. And everybody knew that, especially this guy who was one of the primary funders of the party.
Funny you about see? That, eh?
And it's going to cost Billy like $40,000 to defend himself against this.
It's definitely the main winners here are the lawyers.
The main winners here are the New World Order. I mean,
yeah, well, that's right. Yes,
you know, it's own backwards.
Yeah.
NWO, they own you.
I guess so, don't they?
And so at the moment, there is 1, 2, 3, I don't know, maybe half a dozen or more little tiny freedom movements in New Zealand that have some kind of political vehicle, okay? Including these coalitions together, you know? And what's happening between them is they're all fracturing apart, easily allowing themselves to be divided and conquered, copious quantities of infighting, and the media is having a field day demonizing them, and we're just playing right into their hands. And there's one party that allegedly had a shadow government with inside it, you know, kind of thing. And a bunch of these activists who joined up to it, you know, joined it up to it for freedom, realized that somebody behind the scenes was making all the decisions behind the party. And they weren't allowed to know who this person was or how they made their decisions. And there weren't any minutes. And the person heading that party was a former National Party member of Parliament, just like Jamie Lee Ross, who helped out Billy TK during the last unsuccessful campaign. He's incidentally now owns a brothel. I mean, it's an adjacent step from politics to whoring, you know. The only thing that would be a more obvious step from career wise to prostitution would, of course, be journalism. But I digress. So
journalism doesn't pay it as well, I don't think.
So at the moment, people are actually trying to play the game of the election. Now, I'm not 100% sure what exactly their intentions are. For example, if you go out protesting, you should know 100% sure that when you go out protesting, your protest is going to fail.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever you're protesting about, they're still going to do it. Okay. Now, here's the reason why. It's a maritime term. if you are the second in command of a ship and the captain tells you, fire on that vessel that is unarmed, full of civilians, and you say, as the second in command, I want to officially protest this order. And he goes, okay, put it down in the log, and then he fires on the ship. Okay? It's not. It's giving consent, but saying, oh, I'm a little bit unsure about it. And that's why no protest actually ever, well, I wouldn't say no protest has ever been successful, but, you know, when you're talking about the millions to one, yeah, you can you can pretty much say that no protest is successful. Why not? Because it's an ineffective way. Okay, now, let's say, for example, the Occupy protests in 2012. They think that they were going to throw over the New World Order by camping in public areas in tents.
Yeah.
All right, now you're up against,
start somewhere.
You're up against people who have depleted uranium munitions and nuclear weapons with ICBM warheads and AI-controlled supercomputers that can chronicle and categorize pretty much every single communication in the world at that point. And you're going to beat them with tents.
Yeah, that should... That'll work.
Yeah, I'm not sure you've thought this all the way through. You know, it's a good start. But and we saw this at the Wellington protest as well. I mean, me and Billy, or Billy and I, should I say, correct England, we knew that that protest was going to fail. As soon as it started and people were camping out on the lawn and everybody's like, oh my God, it's the Freedom Village. It's so amazing. We've created a little town here and we've got portaloos brought in and we've got food in and we've got music playing and so on and so forth. Okay. How many weapons do you have there? Oh, no, we're not allowed weapons. Okay, how are you going to defend yourself against people? Oh, we're going to chant peace and love and hope that the police just turn back. Okay, what did they use pepper spray on you? Oh, we've got milk. I don't think you've thought this one. Look, we had ex-police officers down there, like former Constable Buck Raines, who was trying to get into the leadership to tell them this is who the police are. They're pigs. They're going to just bash your skulls in, break your sternums, bust your hips, and destroy you. What are you going to do about it? What are your defensive plans? What are your choke points and things of that? Now, he was trying to tell them all this. And they're like, oh, no, we don't want to like put off that kind of negative vibe. You know, it's just, we're at war. They're killing us. And you won't even listen to the people who know what they're talking about? You won't take action, okay? The action means to act, not sit around and dance and chant peace and love. So despite that fact, okay, this is all things I learned after the fact. We knew before they even started up that they were going to fail because Billy and I had already tried on a small scale and it had failed. Okay, yes. We knew where the consciousness level of the New Zealand police and the New Zealand government was. And as a reflection of that, not one single parliamentarian, not one, during the entire occupation of Parliament grounds, came out to speak to the protesters.
Yeah, okay? Yes, that's right.
So I gotta say, the problem is that I've seen it before, okay? I'm old, not in years, but in mileage. I've been to countless protests, interviewed practically every activist who's really ever made a name for themselves in the last 15 years in New Zealand, and downloaded, really listened to them and all these things that they've seen and done and all the things that they've said to me. And when I look at the people in New Zealand that are supposed to be my peers, that are supposed to be on my side, who are supposed to be fighting the same enemy as me, one word, unfortunately, and I mean no disrespect here to any of you, comes to mind. Children. Grow up. Okay? It is adults that deal with the threat to human life with defensive force, not peace and love. The peace and love era is gone. We know that it fails. Whatever you're doing, if it fails, and you know that it fails, stop doing it over and over again. Why? Because it's going to fail again. And if you don't freaking realize that, then you are insane. Okay? That's the thing.
Yes.
The people in the truth...
Sanity's in short supply, I think.
New Zealanders, just in general, and particularly the truth movement is especially affected by this, are either cowardly, immature, or insane. There's a very, very small number of people that I can count maybe on one hand of people that I know in this country who know exactly what they're talking about, who know exactly what to do about it, and... the amount of them that are getting listened to by anybody and are making headway in any way are none. Zero. There are nobody who knows what they're talking about is being listened to because of the cowardice, because of the stupidity, and because of the immaturity of the New Zealand general public.
Mm-hmm. So, although...
Now you know why New Zealanders drink so much.
Oh, it's not just New Zealanders, mate. I thought we do a bit of drinking over here in the big place just west of you. The little town I live in, there's wouldn't be 10,000 people, and there's three clubs, a pub, and three licensed restaurants. And in the bottle shop, of course. And this is just one little town. Although we're sort of, Wanji's a lovely place. Should come over one day and visit. Like I'll come over to New Zealand one day.
Yeah, mate. I do want to get out of this accursed archipelago. If somebody could buy me a ticket and get me the fuck out of here, that would be...
If I win Lotto, I'll send you a ticket.
How many times have I heard people say Lotto,
The thing is, I don't buy a ticket, so there's not fuck all chance of that happening. There's this thing, Keno, I don't know if you have that over there, but I chuck 10 bucks of that every now and then, and there's a possibility of $1 million there. I don't know what I could do with a mill. I've got the microphone for a moment. I'd like to say g'day to all the thousands of people in the chat room. Well, I'm exaggerating a little. We got Tone in Twitch, and DK, good old DK, on YouTube. So that's the audience we've got so far. I don't know. Is this going into your channel too? Is it? Or are you?
Yes.
Oh yeah. So you might have two or three viewers.
I've got four.
Four. Oh right.
That's just on the Twitch alone, and we've got 12 on the YouTube, which is extraordinary, and 5 on the thing. What's that? Nearly two dozen. That's twice as much as I had 6 months ago. Oh, the deplatforming. Oh, the shadow banning. It hurts me. It hurts me so badly.
Couple of dozen, that's probably the most people that had ever seen me. I'm pretty sure.
I live to serve, Mikasa is Sukasa.
I don't know if anyone's aware, probably they are, but it was Vinny that, because I was a mod on Vinny's show for quite a while, and he was sort of saying for a while that build a bigger media sort of thing, get the new media happening, and I decided, well, I've never done anything like this. Sounds like an art form. I'll give it a go. So here I am. I've done, this is show 72 or something like that. And I've got a weekend show that's got about 20 shows. I've got nearly 100 shows, but it's only been a year. I remember you saying that most people don't last, and I plan to be around for a while.
Yeah.
It's not much of a show. The show will get better and better. And, like, I have some good shows sometimes. Like, me and DK have had some great shows. It just, because he's quite a knowledgeable fella, is DK. He's So, yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, he's down at Christchurch doing, what's his name, Julian Batchelor's gig tonight. And I've shared my mobile data with him because he got no data, so he can't live stream it. So I've shared my data with him for the night, so he can stream it for his followers and hopefully download that thing afterwards and pop it down. You know, she'll be right. You know, like I've helped out a whole bunch of activists. You know, I think Karina from Truth Bombs New Zealand gave her a megaphone and a cell phone gimbal. And Shane LaRosa from Shooters Bar gave him two megaphones and a PA system. I Carl Bromley as well. I sent him a cell phone gimbal too. You know, I just if I've got the resources, and at that time, this was just after the election of 2020 when I was like loaded. I was able to purchase all these things because I was like, man, I'm going to need these. And then, of course, I got arrested. And then couldn't use any of that stuff because I was banned from protesting. So I was like, all right, well, there's a whole bunch of people who aren't. So
here you go. That's right. Yeah. That's definitely, I'm all about helping people out when you can, just by restreaming stuff. That's pretty much all I do is just restream other people's stuff, like the protesting camera to the rock garden. Yeah, you got it. It's a great concept. It's across the water from the Governor General's house, because they got kicked out of away from the gate, and they every day, for over a year now, they do a proclamation that is basically telling the Governor General to release the results of the Wood Royal Commission. It's a commission of the child. Pedophilia back in the 90s,
and that's child pedophilia as opposed to adult pedophilia. Everybody, now go ahead.
I'm pretty sure the audience knows that, but anyway, there's 28 names apparently of so-called ex prominent figures, and one of them is even ex prime minister that were mentioned in this royal commission. So it was a big thing. And their names were, or the report was put on a back burner for like 70 years or something like that, like, you know, hidden for 70 years or something, because people would lose. The reason they chose to, keep it away from us, was that people might lose faith in the judiciary. You're fucking kidding. Since when's that an excuse? Does anyone have?
No, well, that actually happened here in New Zealand. Anyway. That actually happened here in New Zealand too. Almost word for word, exactly. Under the John Key government in 2016, if I remember correctly, there was a rumble of a internal review into the judiciary of New Zealand, and when they found corruption, they decided not to release it because it would, again, as you said, threaten the faith in the judiciary. Now, currently at the moment, I hear rumours that Sue Gray, a lawyer, she's the Outdoors and Freedom Party campaigning alongside Brian Tamaki at the moment. She believes that the judiciary was, when she was kind of starting to get active, 75% corrupt. She now believes it's over 90% corrupt. Okay, so, you know, when Hitler took over Germany, he changed the judges, he used the priests and all of that kind of thing. Why? Because all these things require faith, just like government. You don't require evidence for law. You know, if you think that I'm joking, like the law is natural law. You can't rape anybody, you can't hurt anybody, you can't threaten anybody, can't trespass on their property, you can't damage their stuff, and you can't steal it. All right, that's the law. Okay, and those are the only laws that actually really truly exist, and anybody who violates them is going to get karmic backlash, unless they figured out what the elite figured out a long time ago, is that you can defer karma. by getting somebody else to do the bad acts for you. You've seen all these Iraq war veterans and stuff like that with their complex post-traumatic stress and their drug addiction problems and their alcoholism and their homelessness and stuff like that. You know why that is? Because they were out there doing bad things for bad people. Do you see any of these bad people having any problems like that? No, they don't. No, because they get order followers to do their bad karmic juju for them. And that way they get all the blame by the universe. It's not what orders you follow that matter. It's whether or not you obey the laws of the universe. They were true when the universe began. They'll be true when it ends.
And like I remember seeing Mark Passio's seminar on natural law, and it was a fascinating thing, folks. If you ever look Mark Passio up and find that natural law is over, it boils down to you don't steal. And stealing covers, you know, like you don't steal someone's rights, and you don't steal, you know what I'm trying to say. Yeah, everything that's wrong is for basically stealing. You know, like no matter what bad dude, bad jute, what's the word?
Bad juju.
Bad juju, yeah, that'll do. Every bad juju you do is going to get you. Hey, how's that, folks? I made Vinny laugh.
Hey, you know, it does happen. Well, it's just what I was talking about on the show a lot of the times. You know, two people come up to you and it's like, Vinny, I want you to sell lies. You're like, lies? What do I get if I sell lies? Mate, you're going to be rich. Okay, you're going to have as many girls as you want, as much drugs as you want. You know all those famous and important people you see on television in the movies? Yeah, they'll be your mates, mate. All right, you'll be around at their crib, kicking it. And you're like, whoa, that's what I get if I sell lies? Yeah, mate. What about you, mate? What do you reckon I should sell? I reckon you should sell truth, Vinny. Truth? What do I get if I sell that?
Death.
Well, you're going to lose your friends and your livelihood and in all likelihood become some kind of social pariah or outcast and maybe kind of be that way until you die unrecognized. Really? Yeah. You need a better sales pitch, mate. Yeah, I know. I've been working on it. It's... It's just not working out, mate. It's the truth.
So, Vinny, you went for the latter, not the former, then, I take it.
Yeah, because he asked the other guy, so what are the unintended consequences of telling lies? Well, you know all those mates you think you got? Yeah. Well, they're not really your mates, and they'll disappear as soon as shit goes sideways for you. You say one thing that the people who control you don't like, and all that money's gone. All those friends are gone, all those women are gone, and you're fucked, mate. So you're kind of a slave for the rest of your life.
Yep.
Great, great gilded cage, though. Okay.
Yeah,
what about you, mate? What are the unintended consequences of telling the truth? Well, you won't have that many friends, but the ones you do have will be real. And they'll be there for you when you're in deep shit. And you won't have millions and billions of dollars and all the stuff that you could ever possibly desire, but everything you could ever possibly need, roof over your head, food, shoes on your feet, place to go to chill out when you need it or something like that, it'll just materialize like magic whenever you need it and exactly the amount you need and exactly what you need. All right. And you'll never.
Funny how that works.
And you won't have trouble sleeping because your conscience will be clear.
Right, yeah, that's you've updated that one. The unintended consequences there. That's so correct too. You know, that's the way life is though. You know, if you look at it that way, because look, if you're after money and power and stuff like that, it doesn't really. Doesn't really get you anywhere. Well, maybe it does. Money and power. I have no money problems. I have no money. Simple as that. But
yeah, kind of like I don't have an alcohol problem because I've never run out of alcohol, you know.
Yeah, I don't drink anymore. I don't drink any less. And I should drink a little less, you know, because, well, the liver's not going to hold out forever. As the old saying is, the liver is evil and must be punished.
Well,
That's wrong.
When I went to when I went to my naturopath, you know, and he was talking to me about my liver, he goes, Vinny, the liver's classified 1 to 3. 3 meaning very good, one meaning very good, and 3 meaning very bad. You're a 9.
Yeah.
So when you go out and you're partying or something like that, Vinny, do you drink wine or do you drink beer or do you drink spirits? And I went, yes.
There's no or. And sometimes water. Sometimes, you know, like you have ice. Funny thing about the job that I do, I work at a bakery, as you know. At the moment, we're making what we call lamb's fry and bacon pies. So I actually make up the lamb's fry mix myself. But I'm cutting into livers on a daily basis, making lamb's fry and bacon pies. You ever had lamb's fry and bacon? Is that a thing over in New Zealand?
No, I don't think so.
It's lamb's liver and bacon fried together with gravy and stuff. And yeah, a lot of people think it's really awful.
Yeah.
was brought up in it as a parents, they were English people, shall we say, and that's an English dish came out of Australia, and people either love it or they hate it. Yeah, but
I was thinking about this the other day. Is went out to Africa Bar in Albany and ordered a well done steak. I like my steak well done.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. It's just my thing.
That's your thing. Yep.
And it comes out and it's bloody as hell, you know, and I'm like, for goodness sake. So I maybe only eat about half the steak. And so I take it home and I put some seasoned oil in the pan with a little bit of rosemary, a little bit of garlic and a little bit of chili powder. And I just sit there and I simmer it in that little bed of oil for like maybe half an hour on one side and then flip it over and do about maybe 15, 20 minutes on the other side. And you take it out and it's so soft, it's so tender, and it's so juicy because it's so low, and you keep the lid on the thing while you're frying it, so all that juice doesn't just evaporate, it actually reabsorbs, and it helps all the flavors to amalgamate and get into the thing. It makes you hungry just thinking about it, doesn't it, hearing me say it? This is how I do my steak. And these kids, one time in Thames, Coromandel, we were staying at their house while we were on the Counterspin tour, and my partner Rebecca got us some Scotch fillet steak. So I cooked it like that and gave one of the steaks to the kid, and he goes, "That's like my top 5 meals, man." It was in his top 5, like out of his entire life, like that steak, mate. Like, yeah. When you, and I was just thinking about it earlier before the show. Is there a science to why good food tastes good? Right? What's the temperature of it? What's the emulsion level of the ingredients? What's the flavor profile? What's the freshness of the ingredients? How long have they been cooked for? At what temperature? In what kind of moisture environment? You know, it's actually a very technical thing to get something to taste good. You know, just putting toast down in a toaster and putting some butter and peanut butter or Marmite or whatever it is, that's not cooking, okay?
If you put a bit of tomato and cheese and chuck it on the griller for a couple of minutes, that's cooking. Mm-hmm. Well, sort of. Yeah, cooking is one of the things I love to do. I wouldn't say I'm a great cook, but I'm passable sort of thing. But just the joy of creating something out of the basic ingredients, and if it doesn't taste so good, well, you learn for next time, sort of thing. So that's why cooking, generally, some people are just natural at it, basically. Like most of our mums were naturals weren't they? My mum was a great cook, but plain, but yeah. Like she'd never heard of a chili. Yeah, it was all pretty, yeah, plain English fare sort of thing. But, you know, well, I can do all sorts of things now, like curries and steak. I can do it. Yeah, I like my steak to have a bit of blood on it, though. But, yeah, cooking it too quickly definitely does change things, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it simplifies them, I think. I like complexity so that as you chew, new flavors emerge,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
kind of thing. And that's just me, you know. I like to think of this kind of idea that what we eat is very important. However, I've been eating like crap for years and years and years. And so the detriment of my health, and I'm just now starting to think about, you know, how much I've neglected salad and all of that kind of thing. How do you make a salad taste good? You know, like all of those sorts of things, meats and breads and pastas and all of that kind of stuff. Man, I can make that stuff taste good. Just like that.
Yeah, you just got to have the herbs and bits and pieces around, and you sort of, you learn by your mistakes sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes you get it right first up.
Yeah. Now, what was it? Hippocrates said, let food be thy medicine, let medicine be thy food. Now, at the moment, let's take it back a little bit more global. You know, Bill Gates is probably the biggest farm owner in America. And he's just a globalist puppet. He's what Joe Atwell calls a lifetime actor. All right, and there's a lot of people like that around there, you know, these big figures and things like that, and you think they've done some amazing stuff or whatever, but the actual fact they've just been playing a role for their entire life because they're just there to push these agendas by globalist scumbags. And again, if they don't do what they're told, they're going to be sacrificed to demons in underground Masonic temples or something. Now, you know, it's...
They have an accident or something, yes.
Yeah, they have an accident underground in a Masonic temple involving a dark and scaly blade. Now, it's, you know, she tripped, she fell.
Several times. But it's, like, was it some guy here in Australia, he was a politician or something, and they got ruled suicide, and because there was a shotgun blast to the chest and a bullet and a smaller bullet to the head, so it was suicide. Yeah, didn't even drop guns. Yeah, I just shot myself in the head. That didn't work, so I just blew myself away.
Okay. You know, look, some people are just determined, you know, you can't stop them. It really gives you inspiration for what people are capable of, you know. Like, I remember this one story in the States, the case was also ruled a suicide, and apparently what had happened is the guy had gone to confront a sheriff. He was known to be a corrupt sheriff, and at some point during his confrontation with the sheriff, the man decided to cut himself up into pieces with a chainsaw and then toss himself into drawstring bags, throw himself onto the back of the sheriff's pickup truck, drive the truck while he's in the plastic bags in the back of the truck down the highway at 90 miles an hour, and then fling himself off the side of the truck and land in a ditch. Ruled a suicide. Incidentally, the corruption that the sheriff was allegedly involved in did also involve the coroner. So, you know, it's, again, you can't stop some people, man. They're just freaking determined, bro. You just can't stop them.
It's unfortunately funny, you know, because it's just as you said before, I think that's how you... How you deal with the darkness of the world that we're in. Sort of not really make light of it, because a lot of it's pretty tragic. But, you know, if you can get a giggle out of it, it's good for you.
I mean, this is the human spirit we're talking about here. Yeah. This guy's got the right stuff. It's a shame there aren't more of them around. I suppose he did get a bit spread around, didn't he? After the bag burst open. Up on impact. Now,
he's gone to pieces.
Yeah. I mean, that, you know, greatness, we all go to pieces at some point, don't we?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Sorry, we had some people in the chat room who were talking to me, and I've been ignoring them this whole time. Okay. And I'm very sorry about that, guys. I've got Auntie Karen, who says, "Hi, Vinny, you're looking very handsome today, very sexy indeed." You know, thank you, Auntie. Don't know how to take that. Gwyneth Davis says, "Vinny, how can the New Zealand public watch the movie Sound of Freedom? How can we get it in circulation in New Zealand?"
I'll be right back.
It's on. It's on freaking, what's it called, Rumble, isn't it? And I guess you basically, I don't know. That a short answer, Vinny doesn't know. That, because what happens if now we're dealing with a whole cage of massive shadow banning and deplatforming and that kind of thing going out, as well as coupled with an incredibly insane, lazy, ignorant and apathetic population. So how can you get it out there? Any way you can. All right. You need to basically create some kind of a big incident. I mean, how did Billy and I become so famous overnight? Is we got ourselves arrested in broad daylight on day one of the lockdown when all the eyes were on us, okay? Find out where all the eyes are pointed and hijack it, okay? I mean, that's what we did. And a lot of people saw that, and a lot of people got upset, and there's a lot more people doing shows now that weren't doing it before. A lot of people who went to protests who weren't doing it before, and things of that nature. So whatever you do, just try and be an example to follow, all right? Now, of course, it's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question. Not Vinny with an IE, like I'm some kind of example to follow. No. Just do your own thing. You do you. Are you hurting anybody? No. Are you damaging anybody's property? No. Then it's your right. Go out and do it. Does it feel right to you? Go out and do it. And don't give yourself any excuses. Just do it, okay? Because you'll feel better once you do. And you'll feel bad continuously the longer you prevent yourself from doing it, because you keep psyching yourself out and you go, "Oh, I'm not ready enough for it yet. Oh, I need to do this first," or something. It happens to all of us. It happens to me. All right. I've got like maybe, I don't know, 100 unfinished projects or something like that. And I'll come up with like one project that I really need to do like next week. And instead of doing that one project that I need to do that week, I'll do like five or six other projects that I'm trying to clean out and get off my desk or something like that, so I can have some clear headspace to do this one project, and then I do that one project. Okay? So clear yourself out and get out there and do what you can to spread the word about the Sound of Freedom. I've seen it. It's not bad. Nicole Cadana father was one's names on the Woodrow Commission. Don't know what that means. Paula Bennett, Vinny, remember you did a broadcast with a victim of her. This was the first time I watched you. Oh, yeah, back in the day. Ashley. Ashley Farrell. Yeah. And the interview's still on my website as well. If you go to vinnyeastwood.com and you type in Ashley Farrell, Paula Bennett, it should be up there for you to listen to. So that's the, I believe she was like the second in command of the National Party or something around that level. And it turned out that she was having sex with a 14-year-old boy before she was a parliamentarian. And that 14-year-old boy, now grown up, came out and talked about it on my show. You know, she smelt like jasmine and Kama Sutra massage oil, he told me. That's creepy, eh? And what a big boy you are. What a big boy you're becoming. Oh, man. And these are the people who are ruling over you, all right? Honestly, if you want to look for the sickest, most disgusting people in the world, look at the people on television, look at the people in the entertainment industry, look at the people in politics, and you will find some of the most deprived scum. And of course, it goes beyond that. You know, you've got any center of power doctors, lawyers, police, judges, priests and religious organizations, big corporate heads and what have you. This world is so dirty now that you virtually can't get anywhere without dirt on your back. If you're too squeaky clean, they won't let you in because they know they can't trust you. Because they haven't got dirt on you to hold over you if you threaten to speak out. Okay? That's it. So if you want to be a good, big, badass person in this world, go and do a whole bunch of scumbaggery and then go out and try to claim that you're against scumbaggery. And I guarantee you, a whole bunch of evil people, if you've got talent, will come and find you and want to sponsor you and then tell you what you have to do for the rest of your life once you're successful.
Yeah, yeah. Because otherwise, we'll bury you in pieces. Possibly. Yes. Yes. Well, Vinnie, I might wrap things up pretty much shortly, I think, because we've got 3 o'clock here in Australia. And as DK knows, 3 o'clock for me is bolo time. But I don't have to rush away. So if there's anything more you'd like to talk about, of course, we've got no hurry, but what are you up to this afternoon? You got or this evening?
Well, I've got how old's he now? He's 5 months and 6 days old, right? Boy. Yeah. Little Alfie, and also Rebecca has a massive problem with her tooth hurting really, really badly. So I was lucky that I could do this show, and I was here at 4 o'clock for the allotted time.
You
And even though I completely forgot about it, and we have done the hour, and it is now 5:01 p.m. local time. That's the end of the working day on this Thursday, the 6th of July, 2023. Vincent Eastwood, Mr. News.
Well done, Vinny. Well, mate, thank you very much for joining my show today. It's been a cracker. And I'm sure it'll get lots of views on BitChute, maybe. Anyway, actually, another thing I was going to ask you, how are you going for belts? Do you want another belt for the missus and the kid, sort of thing? Then a little baby's belt I can make. Anything like something with Vinny the Vendetta's back on it or something, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lady's belt and a baby's belt with Vinny and the Vendetta's on it could be great, mate.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you just let me know the baby one will just be it'll fit in one day. It'll be a small one, but yeah.
We'll measure them and then we can have a few extra loops on it or something like that.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And just email me the measurements, and I'll get on with it sometime this year. Because as you were saying before about projects, I've got about 10 or 15 little leatherwork projects I've got up my sleeve that I've got to start soon. But the main thing at the moment is getting my bus on the road, and it's painfully close. And then I can concentrate on other hobbies. Yeah, it's been the bus rebuild's been started. 7 or 8 months I've been doing it, sort of thing. Every weekend, bits and pieces at a time, and it's probably about 10 grand or more. Yeah, just a little rebuild. But when she's on the road, mate, you'll be seeing me from Canberra. I'm going to go to get down in Canberra again and see what's happening down there. And I'm going to get around. So on that note, Vinny.
All right. Well, thank you very much for having me, Alan. We'll see you again sometime, brother.
Okay. Cheers, Vinny. Thank you. Bye.
Cheers, mate.